need to hear you this morning, Calvary. Everybody say, there's nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. If you believe that to be true, clap as loud as you can for the Lord.
Morning. come on.
There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
One more time. You're the
How great is our God, huh? Amen. And I am so incredibly, I don't even know. The Holy Spirit is just gripping me today. Those songs right there. Now, you all know, you sing them in church, right? I mean, how great is our God? Our God is an awesome God. And, you know, I was thinking about this morning, and God tells us, I mean, he straight tells us to brag about him. God instructs us to brag about him. Cobweb or something. Jeremy, I noticed names aren't pink again. Make sure everyone check your profile and make sure you're donating. Make sure it's active. I had to refresh and reactivate mine several times. Yeah, I think whenever Rumble gets an attack, it like goes after people who, you know, have statuses like that. So yes, make sure you're signed in. Make sure you're following the page. But also, if you are a monthly Rumble ranter, make sure that that's signed back up as well. He wants us to brag about him, about Jesus, and about heaven. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to put his message of grace and salvation out there in public for the world to see. Now, some people will take that message, like, how great is our God? Our God is stronger. Our God is better. Our God is higher than any other. Some people will take that message and specifically go to, like, you know, LGBTQ events or whatever as a way to provoke and combat, which I don't disagree with playing the Lord's message at those places. It needs it more than ever before, maybe except for Sodom and Gomorrah times, but it needs it more than ever before. However, if you're gonna do that, have the same energy to do it at your local bar, to do it on the street corners, to do it at a hospital, to do it at work, to do it at a birthday party, wherever. If you're going to have that energy to go out there in a combative way and be like, our God is an awesome God. Our God is stronger than your God. Our God is higher than any other God, which is true and the world should know. Keep that same energy everywhere. Family, friends, functions, all the time. He wants us to brag about him. Jeremy, you are glowing in the Holy Spirit. Go Iowa. Well, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and me making this decision to follow what God wanted me to do, you're right. The glowing of the Holy Spirit that you see probably would not be happening. But there is a sacrifice to it. And the sacrifice that I have to face is being separated from my firstborn. And that is hitting me like a ton of bricks because she leaves at the end of this week. But because I am leaning on and relying on that glow of the Holy Spirit, I am bathed and washed in righteousness. So I don't have to fear, and I don't have to be anxious, and I don't have to be sad. What I do have to be not because somebody tells me to be, because I literally need it, is I have to be on fire for the Lord. And I have to be picking up my cross daily. And so many people want to hurry through their trials. And so many people want to hurry through their tribulations and their times of iron sharpening iron. And what we need to remember is that God has us there or here or wherever you are. If you're cross, if you're carrying your cross daily, then God has you there for a reason. God is also guiding my daughter to do what she thinks is right for her life as a God-fearing young lady in a very godless world. She's doing what she is being called to do. And it took me a minute to understand this. As it was hitting me, I was like, God, not really questioning him, but questioning him kind of. Why would you do this? Why would you have me come here just to give up that which is among the most important to me? And that's my answer right there. You know, when you ask God to do something for you, if you ask God to reveal something for you, I always tell everybody, you get your answer immediately. You don't have to wait on God. You get your answer from God the second you ask him the question. And the answer was in the question. Why would you have me come here just to give up that which is that of most importance to me? Here on earth, anyway. And CQ nailed it. For I have plans for you, said the Lord. Jeremy, oof. Oh, that one hit. Oh, that one's bringing tears. Sanctified said, Jeremy, you sacrificed your Isaac. Wow. Yeah, that's... ain't that the truth? You know what I'm saying? So, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, well, when is the next time I'm going to see her? When is the next time I'm going to be able to hug her and hold her and tell her I love her? I got to hurry up and get to that date. And God said to me this morning, why? What do you mean, why? Because I'll miss her. Yeah. She'll miss you too. But why do you have to hurry to get there? Aren't you excited, he said, to see what I am going to do with you and with her in that time? And I said, yes, I am. And that is why you can, that's how, I should say, you can bathe and bask in the light of the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, right there. Well, we're 21 minutes past the hour. Man, this show goes by so quick. Let's please bow our heads, go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get to the verse of the day, which you guys should all have received. Please look in your junk, your spam, your promotions, and your social folders if it is not resting in a heavenly rest in your inbox, okay? Let's do that now. Lord, Father in heaven, in the name of Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, Lord, we come to you at the foot of the throne. We bow, we smile, And we give our thanks, appreciation, and gratitude for all of our blessings, even if they don't feel like blessings at that moment. I trust in you, Lord. Father God, I trust in your guidance, and I trust in whom you've sent in place of Jesus to guide me. I don't have to know where we're going anymore. All I need to know is that I'm going with you. As many people are probably experiencing a situation somewhat like mine, Lord, I pray for those family members who are being separated to do it in the light and in the love of the Lord. To have a spiritual connection and a bond that is far stronger than any earthly or digital connection you could have. Feeling one another from far away. Lord, today we're going to talk about hurrying and being hasty about things. Lord, today, help us understand your message of slowing things down. Because we miss so much, not only of this earth and this world, which you give to us as a blessing, but we miss so much of your guidance and your instructions because we're always in such a hurry to get where. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day together. We thank you for fellowship. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless our audience, our Rise Up family members in their journeys, in their job searches, in their physical ailments, and that you lift them up spiritually as you do me every day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. K-Mac says, I have come to this conclusion about my grown children. They are God's children, not mine. That's probably right. So when God is instructing your children to do something that you might, as they get older, that you might not agree with, or that might, well, what about me? You got to think, hey, those children belong to God. Over you. And that's right. That's a great, great statement. That's a great statement. If you guys could all do me a great favor and please share the video, I'd appreciate it. Jeremy, this is perfect for me today. Still haven't received my VA money yet. Thank you for all prayers. Getting a little desperate. Might have to ask for help. Not yet. While he donates. MDUS, you know where to reach out to. God bless you, sir, and thank you. I told Scotty we would say hi to him in the comments, so be sure to leave him a hi down below. He starts his new job today. Scotty, when you watch this later, man, we're going to miss you, but you're doing what you need to do, and God bless you for that. Steelers says, here's $10. Put it towards some ammo squared. You're right. We might need that. Thank you so much. Let's go to the verse of the day today. Please open up your newsletters as I have mine open. And let's read it all together, okay? And by the way, if you don't have a newsletter, I'd ask, what the heck are you doing? Go to jeremyharrell.com and sign up now. And if you also don't have a newsletter, please open up your Bibles to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19:2, as a matter of fact. That's where we're going to read from first. And then we're going to fast forward to Proverbs 21. I said, hello. Today we will be talking about slowing things down. We miss far too much by being haste or being in a hurry. This is a topic that I think we must talk about, because so many people suffer from this, including myself. And I said, please help us stay funded if you are so inclined to do so by going to jeremyharrell.com and clicking the donate tab. And you can become a one-time or monthly donor here. A monthly donor, whether it's $1, $5, $10, or $25, helps us budget for the next month so we know what we can do. And we thank you. Verse of the day today, Proverbs 19. Oh, did I say 19:2? I think I meant Proverbs 19:12. Hold on just one second. Let me just see here real quick. There we go. It's 19:2, not 19:12. I apologize. 19:2. And it says this. Desiring or desire without knowledge is not good. So that means wanting something without the knowledge of what will come with it, or what it brings, or even why you want it, is not good. And whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. What that's saying is, the more you are living a hurried up life, hurry up and get somewhere, hurry up and do something, the more you're going to miss memories, God's guidance, God's blessings. You may miss somebody on the side of the road that needed your help. That homeless person could have been God. Maybe you missed an opportunity to sit with your son, your daughter, your husband, and your wife, when they needed you the most, even if it was for 5 minutes, because you're in a hurry. And I would say, probably 10 times out of 10, whatever you miss while you're in a hurry or acting in a hasty manner, the stuff that you miss far surpasses and is far more important than the stuff you're hurrying up to achieve. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. I saw a meme the other day on Instagram. Thank you, Mary. God train for all souls in heaven. Mary with the $5 donation. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate you. I saw a meme the other day. And by the way, patience is one of the 9 fruits of the Spirit. So, you know, the opposite of that, hurrying. I saw a meme the other day that said, someday I'm going to get up, walk through my absolutely clean house, same way it was when I left it to go to bed. I'm going to get my stuff ready for the day and grab all my stuff that isn't broken. And I'm going to head out to the garage, it's clean as a whistle. Get in my perfectly clean and armor-all vehicle that everything works in and nothing's broken with no scratches on it. One day, I will do that. But the whole time, I'll be wishing that the people who made the messes and broke the stuff would all be back in my home doing exactly that. Now, a lot of you probably have children who have grown up and gone, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. However, for me, on my journey with Jesus, with my family, my children are just getting to that stage where they're about ready to leave, or we're about ready to be separated. Why am I always in such a hurry to get to work? Why am I such in a hurry to get to the next rally? Why am I such in a hurry to get things moved and situated? Why am I in such a hurry to make sure that the business in the house is where it needs to be for me to be comfortable? Why? What's the problem? Shouldn't I enjoy every minute of it? Shouldn't I enjoy everything? building the studio with my son and my daughters? Shouldn't I enjoy decorating the house in a new way, maybe with some new decorations? As long as I'm doing it with the people that I love, shouldn't I, horsey, and slow down? How about this next? So that was 19-2. What is the next verse? Fast forward a little bit. Just go forward in your Proverbs to Proverbs 21:5. Now, I'll give you a minute to get there. It shouldn't take you long, though. We were already at Proverbs 19. You just got to go two chapters ahead. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. But everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Let's stop. This one will really get you. It says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. That means the people that work hard, work nonstop, diligent, focused, workaholics, it will lead to abundance. You'll have more than you could ever ask for here on earth. But the last part says, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Well, how's that the case if it just said you would have abundance? How would you be in poverty? Because it's not talking about money. The poverty part, the but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty, that part has nothing to do with worldly things, has nothing to do with money, has nothing to do with cars, clothes, homes, savings account, gold, silver, none of it. Says you will be come only to poverty. And it's talking about heaven, grace, mercy, heavenly blessings, heavenly relationships, love, kindness, patience, belief, faith, all of those things you won't have. Joy. You will be spiritually poor. You will be the most spiritually poverty-stricken person on earth. You can have all the things in the world. You know they say money doesn't buy happiness, right? I disagree. Money does buy happiness. Money doesn't buy joy. I could be happy going and buying a new truck today. That'd be cool. Never going to happen, but that'd be cool. I'd be happy going and buying a side-by-side or a four-wheeler and going out with the kids on the trails. That'd be cool. I'd be happy if I could afford a golf membership to a nice golf course, club, or something. That would be cool. But it wouldn't bring me joy. So I disagree. I think money can buy happiness, but it can't buy joy. And that's what you're robbed of when you're seeking abundance here on earth. When you're in a hurry to get there, when you're in a haste to get somewhere, to get something, to do something, to get your next position in your job. Who cares? Who really cares? How you doing, Suzanne Spencer? Just dropping in to say hi. Make sure you leave a rumble on your way in and out. Thank you very much. Does it really matter if you get a promotion? Really, does it matter? Yeah, you get an extra $1,000 a month or whatever the promotion brings, and you get a new title, but it comes with new headaches, comes with new obligations and responsibilities, probably far more than your previous position. What does it really matter? I want my position in heaven to mean something. I want my status in heaven to hold water, to mean something. I don't care if it means something here. I never cared about being the manager. I never cared about being the boss. I don't like being a boss. Ask anybody in LFA TV. I hate it. I hate having to address things that I don't want to address. I hate having to come up with the schedule for everybody every day. I hate having to give directives to people. It's something that I don't like to do. I'm good at it, but I don't like to do it. I'd rather just follow. You know? God, anyway. There's nothing on this earth that I desire outside of relationships with the people that I love and the blessings that God gave me and the instruction that God gave me. I don't really, like, places and things don't mean that much to me anymore. And if I'm in a place where I see that I feel like I'm in quicksand or stuck in the mud or becoming stale like the crackers that have been in your closet or your pantry for the last 3 years, I need a change. I got to do something different. I don't. Stuff is not that important to me here anymore. It really isn't. Houses, cars, places, things, money. I don't care. I just don't care. You know what I care about? I care about that. You know what else I care about? That right there, producer Eli, my friends, my loved ones, how they feel, how they're doing, what their relationship with Christ is like. Can I help? That is what brings a smile to my face. I'm not in a hurry for anything else anymore. I want to read to you from Prayer Promises for Men. And by the way, if my daughter Shaylin is watching this morning, I know you're a big girl now, but you're still my baby Shay. That's what me and producer Eli used to call her. Producer Eli used to change my kids' diapers and help me out back in the day. Now she's grown up. But to us, you're still baby Shay. That was her nickname, baby Shay. And I love you so much. So happy that you're a God-fearing young lady. I'm going to read a little bit about patience for you today. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. And above all else, be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. Something I am working on big time. Hebrews 6:12. Be like those who through faith and patience will receive what God has promised. Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Do you know what it never says in this book? Hurry up. It never says that. It never says, hurry. I don't even think the word hurry is in the Bible. You want to know why? Because Jesus didn't hurry. Jesus was not a man of hurry. Jesus was a man of patience. Jesus was a man who calculated every step and never hurried to one village or another because he knew that the journey was where he would make the most difference. The journey. Proverbs 14:29. Anyone who is patient with great understanding, anyone who is patient has great understanding, but anyone who gets angry quickly shows how foolish they are. My whole life I've been in a hurry to prove to the people around me that I was something different than they thought I was. I've been in a hurry to replace and erase the 3.5 years that I lost being locked up when I was younger. Always in a hurry. Hurry up. Build that studio. Hurry up. Let's get this house done. Let's get this new studio. Why? My time could be so much better spent if I didn't hurry up, but I made other people a part of what I was working on. Sherry says, hurry to repent. That might be in the Bible. Yeah, you're probably right about that one. Hurry to repent. Quick to repent, right? I always feel that rushing things is a type of sin, but not sure it is. I wouldn't say it's a sin, but you're not walking like Jesus. You're not walking in the same footsteps that Jesus walked in. And here's something. I do have a video to play you today, but I also have something I'd like to read for you, if I could right now. Jesus was not in a hurry emotionally. Jesus was not in a hurry physically. And slowing down, like Jesus, helps us love ourselves and others so much better. Let's read from Jesus is not in a hurry physically. I cannot find a single example in the Bible where Jesus was in a hurry physically. In fact, if anything, he was decidedly unhurried and present in whatever he was doing. Not allowing even death to change his pace or his focus. Wow. Not even death, folks, could change his pace or focus. Unbelievable. I know he didn't have the same information or transportation technology that we do today, but he could do things like make the blind see and heal someone's withered hand and transfigure into light. Something tells me if Jesus had thought it helpful to bippity-boppity-boo himself along from place to place, he would have done so, but he didn't, and there's a message there. Jesus was not in a hurry emotionally. As much as I love Jesus didn't physically hustle his sandals over the Middle East, he also didn't hustle himself or others along emotionally or spiritually. In a culture that is notoriously pain avoidant, like today, we often don't have good models for how to sit with pain. Instead, we often try to get past the pain, get over the pain, or go around the pain, or numb the pain to make it go away so we don't have to endure. But God wants us to endure. In contrast, Jesus seemed to understand that some emotion needs to be endured, rather than avoided and rather than hurried. Nowhere is this more obvious than in the Garden of Gethsemane. Wow. Amen. In his final hours before being arrested, Jesus was clearly distressed, and yet, rather than avoid or hurry through, the account suggests that he spent at least 3 hours engaged with his emotions and with his spirit, in prayer, asking for help, eventually arriving at a space of acceptance of what lay ahead. This example, while powerful, and while a powerful exclamation point, serves as a continuation of the pattern that he had shown in previous moments where he didn't make a woman stop crying, instead letting her wipe his feet with her hair and crying with his friends when their brother died. He cried and let people cry. That's pretty brave stuff, especially when everybody's calling you a witch or a demon. The world moves really, really fast, but that doesn't mean that we have to. We need to slow down, and slow down enough to make sure that our eyes and hearts can catch what's around us rather than having it pass us by in a blur. No one ever leaves this life saying, "I'm so glad I got everything done so efficiently." but we might just end up with the privilege of saying, I'm so glad I slowed down and got to really live and love the world that God put me in and the people around me. Spreading God's message in continuous relationship with our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. I really want you guys to take this message today and apply it. You got to slow down. Don't be in a hurry to get the job finished. Do it in an efficient, mature time. Don't hurry up to get something done. Enjoy what you're doing with the people around you. Remember that movie, I think it was The Breakup. So a long time ago, I think it was a Vince Vaughn quote in the movie The Breakup, where he said, I have learned that life isn't really about doing the things that you love. It's about doing the things with the people that you love, that they love to do, whether you like it or not. And I thought that was a cool quote, because that's so true. How many of us say, I don't want to do that because I don't want to, but the person that you love more than anything wants to? How many of us, you know? It's a really cool quote, I thought. All right, well, here on Rise Up, we're known for playing videos of people that we love that do great things, like Ray Comfort and Cliff Connectly, not Netchel, and many others. And I have really come to love this young kid, Bryce, that we've played often here now. And I'd like to play a video of his today where he's continuing to spread the gospel and the message of love to the LGBTQ community.
We woke up, drove down to Orange County. My new friend Jesse hits me up on Instagram, and he's like, Bryce, come through for a tattoo. So we came to get my leg tattoos. I think it's going to be a great opportunity to talk about Christianity and tattoos. I was like, what better way than come meet a new friend, reach out to us, hang out, get tattoos, talk about Jesus. It's going to be great. But this video is not an excuse for you to convince your parents to get you a tattoo. I'm just showing you what Christianity says about tattoos, getting a tattoo. I'm obviously a Christian with tattoos, so it's just going to be a great video. And we're going to have fun. It's going to be amazing. Feeling good. Excited to meet Jesse. It's going to be great. This is Josh. Dude, thanks for letting us come through. I appreciate you.
Yeah, come through.
Dude, let's go.
It's crazy. Everything that's been going through, like, my life right now is just, like, it's weird. Like,
yeah.
Even, like, how you just pulled up right now, you know? Like,
let's go, dude.
Like, it's dope. Like,
dang. No, I'm really blessed. Thanks for letting us come through and stuff. And
for sure, man.
It's going to be awesome.
It's sometimes hard to, like, really talk to these people because it's hard. Like, they get offended easily.
Mm-hmm. Satan attacks people's identity because if he can get them to be confused about themselves, then they won't experience real freedom in Jesus. Yeah. Like, that's where I found my freedom. Was like, I struggled with anxiety and depression.
Okay.
And then when I had this encounter with Jesus said, hey, that anxiety and depression died 2,000 years ago with me on the cross. And if you just believe that, you'll be free. Like, all I had to do was realize who I was in him. And when I realized who I was in him, then all this, like, craziness around me just, like,
yeah,
it was there. So, like, if you look in Genesis 3 in the garden, when Adam is looking up at God, all this stuff around him, he's just in communion with God, right?
Yeah.
Then the apple comes and he looks at the apple, right? And he's not looking at God anymore.
Yeah.
And when he bites the apple, he looks at himself and he realizes he's naked.
Yeah.
And he's kind of walking around like this, like, I'm naked, and that's why he hides from God. He's looking like this.
Yeah.
And all God was going, why weren't you just looking here? Because when we're looking here, all these apples, temptations, what the world says, oh, this is your identity.
Yeah.
Oh no, you're ashamed of this, or this thing defines you, like, it doesn't matter, because when you're just looking here, it's all just crowd noise. It just rolls off, you know?
Yeah, it's true, man. Well, when I was going through it, bro, like, I started really getting closer to God, and I feel good now, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
let's go.
It's crazy,
proud of you, man.
Man.
I'm proud of you.
It
I appreciate
is, bro,
you.
Because I was really going through it, man. Like, I felt stuck. I
yeah.
felt like, you know, I would get a lot of, like, anxiety, nightmares, and, like, couldn't sleep at night, and a lot of demonic stuff, bro.
Yeah, like, I believe it.
And it's crazy, bro, because, like, the way I look, the way I dress as a tattoo artist,
yeah,
a lot of people, like, right away judge me. I talk to lots of people.
Everybody, bro. Just because of what, yeah.
Yes, I travel and I do conventions. I meet people from everywhere. And every person I talk to, I try to spread, like,
yeah,
and talk about God, yeah, like, with them, you know?
Yeah.
Even if they don't believe in God, and I'll talk to them, and I'll tell them, like, maybe you weren't raised,
mm-hmm,
you know, or maybe you didn't, you just don't know, or
yeah,
you don't have that connection, and I'll talk to them, like, deep conversations,
mm-hmm,
and, like, a lot of people open up to me, man, and it's,
yeah,
like, it feels good. Like, being a tattoo artist, bro, I meet people every day. Every day, yeah, is, like, a new day, bro.
Yeah, come on, you know? Bro. You have, it's like your fishing lure to bring people in. You can have conversations with people that I can't have and that other people can't have.
That's what I know.
Because
you
just have an advantage. Like, people feel comfortable around you because of the way that you look, but there's something different inside of you. So when you talk to them, you don't even have to say the name of Jesus, which is what I think is so powerful. You can just love them and they might be like, dang, Jesse, like, what's different about you?
Yeah.
And when they ask what's different about you, then you drop that gospel bomb on them and you straight nuke them with the love of Jesus.
Do you think tattooing is a sin?
Yeah.
Is it?
No. Oh, no. No, no, no. Good question. So in Leviticus, it talks about not marking your body.
Exactly.
In Leviticus, there's three types of laws. You have civil laws, you have moral laws, and then you have ceremonial laws. It doesn't blatantly say which ones are which in the Bible, so when you study it, you have to, like, have context. But when it talks about marking your body, it's important to know two reasons why they told you not to mark your body. Number one, they were doing it for satanic rituals and to worship other gods.
Yes.
So people were giving themselves tattoos to worship other gods.
It's like self-harm, like a ritual, yeah.
Yeah, to rebel against God.
Yeah.
Another two, completely unsafe. When it talks about marking your body, it falls into a category of laws that talks about you can't wear clothes of the same cloth. That's ceremonial law. So ceremonial law gets canceled when Jesus dies on the cross. Under ceremonial law also includes sacrificing animals for your sins.
Yeah.
We don't have to do that anymore because Jesus paid the ultimate price.
Yeah.
So in the same way, Jesus didn't change the law. He just fulfilled the law so that people don't have to do certain things anymore. It's a combination of Jesus just paying the way, but also, like, what's your heart posture? Like, my heart posture is to bring people conversations about the gospel through tattoos.
Yeah.
Someone's heart posture might be to get a tattoo to worship Satan. Hey, how are you? I'm Bryce. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
What's your name?
Eugene.
Eugene, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
What does pride mean to you? Like this parade.
Oh, this? You know, I'm going to all prides.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
I came from New York.
Uh-huh.
Just see how bright in LA.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and what do you think about love? Like, what is love to you?
Oh. It's, you know, I came from Russia.
Uh-huh.
In my country, in Russia,
yeah,
they hate LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
They hate gays.
Mm-hmm.
They almost kill me there. I'm asking here asylum.
Wow.
So love is everything.
Wow.
Love is power. It's everything for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard about Jesus before?
Yeah.
What do you think Jesus thinks about the Pride Parade and stuff? Like, what do you think?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
When you were young, did something happen to you when you were little?
Yeah.
Sexually?
Yeah.
How could I know that? That's very specific. What if I told you the thing that happened to you when you were young?
Yeah.
Not okay.
Not good.
And I'm so sorry that happened. And that shouldn't have happened. And sometimes when stuff happens to us, traumatic stuff, it can confuse us and make us think that that's who we are. I'm so sorry that happened to you. You know how I knew that happened to you?
Oh.
Jesus spoke to me.
Oh.
I've never met you before.
Okay.
And I knew something happened to you when you were young, and we both know what I'm talking about. And that's because Jesus knows, and he sees you, and he says, I want Eugene to know I love him. So I'm gonna speak through Bryce to get his attention. Have you heard the good news?
Good news?
Yeah.
No.
This is what love is. Love is laying your life down for someone. Eugene, if I pushed you out of the way of a car and I got hit by a car and I died, you would know I loved you because I saved your life. In the same way, Jesus died for all of humankind. There's brokenness and wickedness in the world, and it's called sin. And sin separates us from God. Jesus wants a relationship with you. But because of sin and bad stuff, there's a gap in between us and God. So Jesus died for us so that we can have relationship with Him. And Jesus made you, Eugene, as a man. And you'll never stop being His little boy. I'm so sorry that happened to you when you were little. And that's not okay. I'm so sorry. Can I give you a hug?
Of course.
Love you, Eugene.
Thank you. I love you too.
Can I pray for you?
If you want, why not?
I would love to. Can I put a hand on your shoulder? Jesus, thank you for Eugene. God, thank you that you see him and that you love him. God, I pray that Eugene will have dreams and visions about you, Jesus. God, will you just reveal yourself to him? God, will you just heal any trauma that's happened to him? Any brokenheartedness in his heart, God, will you just heal it? God, we thank you for your love and forgiveness. Will you just overflow Eugene with your love and forgiveness in Jesus' name? Amen. There you go. Love you.
Thank you. Love you too.
I appreciate you.
So
you're amazing.
You speak to Jesus.
Yes.
Can I ask Jesus one thing?
Yeah.
This is the most important thing for me.
Yeah.
I came from Russia to America because I scared live in Russia. They can kill me for that, you know?
Yeah.
They hate people like me. Mm-hmm. I'm just want to ask Jesus if he can help me to get citizenship in America.
Yeah.
Save me, get citizen, and just be citizen in America.
Yeah.
You know?
So prayer is just when we talk to Jesus. You can talk to Jesus.
I can talk.
Yeah. You talk to Jesus like how we're talking.
I talked before with him many times, and I ask all the time, I believe, and I ask all the time that if he can help me with that, give me that.
I believe he will.
Hey,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm really happy I met you.
I'm happy I met you too, Eugene.
Thank you so much
yeah,
for that.
I appreciate you.
I appreciate you too.
Yeah, you take care.
See, ladies and gentlemen, people suffer from the desire to be a homosexual, just like we suffer from the desire to hurry, just like we suffer from the desire to lie, just like we suffer from the desire to have anger when something, you know, makes us mad. But he was able to have this illegal alien who happens to be part of the LGBTQ community, he was able to get him to say, I'm glad that I met you today. I'm glad that I met you today, he said. And he said, you talk to Jesus? And he said, yeah. He goes, can you tell him this for me? And he goes, no, you can. Because you can talk to him too. Spend some time. Sit down. Talk to him. And that's the message today, ladies and gentlemen. Don't hurry. Enjoy every minute. Enjoy every second. God put you there for a reason. Invite others in. Share the gospel with them, no matter who they are. I love you guys. God bless you. Mike Crispy and Unafraid starts next, right here on LFA TV. Make sure you share and rumble him and every other show here on LFA TV. And keep God as your priority. I love you guys. God bless. See you later. Don't hurry.
Come on, sing with me like this, say, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah, there's no